Our help is in the name of the Lord, who has made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you, from God the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord, in communion with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Congregation, let us sing from Psalter 391, stanzas 1 through 4. When morning lights the eastern skies, O Lord, thy mercy show. On thee alone my hope relies. Let me thy kindness know. 1 through 4 of Psalter 391.
Thank you. to read from God's holy and precious word, that which can be found in the Song of Solomon, thereof the second chapter, but before that, the Ten Commandments as they can be found in Exodus 20 and Deuteronomy 5. And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image, or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not bear false witness against thy neighbor. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, nor his ox, nor his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. Song of Solomon, the second chapter. I am the rose of Sharon and the lily of the valleys. As the lily among thorns, so is my love among the daughters. As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste. He brought me to the banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. Stay me with flagons, comfort me with apples, for I am sick of love. His left hand is under my head, and his right hand doth embrace me. I charge you, O ye daughters of Jerusalem, by the rose and by the hinds of the field, that ye stir not up nor awake my love till he please. The voice of my beloved, behold, he cometh leaping upon the mountains, skipping upon the hills. My beloved is like a roe or a young hart. Behold, he standeth behind our wall. He looketh forth at the windows, showing himself through the lattice. My beloved spake and said unto me, Rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away. For, lo, the winter is past, the rain is over and gone, the flowers appear on the earth, the time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give a good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. O my dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Until the day break and the shadows flee away, turn, my beloved, and be thou like a roe or a young hart upon the mountains of Bether.
(Clears We hope to remember in prayer this morning Mr. Deputer, who is in the hospital and hopes to come home today. Moriah DeYoung, who possibly will be having surgery this coming Tuesday. Let us try, pray, and ask for the blessing and help of the Lord. Almighty God, Thou who dwellest in the heavens, Thou who dwellest in Thy glory and in Thy majesty and in Thy greatness, Thou who art exalted to the highest, Thy servant did say, Give ear, O Shepherd of Israel, shine forth. For Thou didst deliver Thy children out of their bondage, and Thou broughtest them through the Red Sea. But then they had 40 years, wherein Thou didst lead them through the wilderness. Indeed, Thou didst go before them with Thy pillar of cloud by day and Thy pillar of fire by night. But they had then to walk through a wilderness, a desert that was full of pits. They had to walk after Thee, and Thou knowest all the rebellion, the dissatisfaction that did live in their hearts. Then it is a wonder that Thou didst not do away with them altogether, but Thy goodness over them was manifested over and over again each and every day, for Thou gavest them bread from heaven. It was angels' food. And Thou didst give them water out of the rock that followed them, so that the hungry could eat and the thirsty could drink. And it was all from Thee. For that time wherein they were in the wilderness, before that day came that they were to pass over the Jordan, then it would not be necessary anymore. For there Thou didst feed them with milk and with honey. O Lord, Thou knowest Thy people in the wilderness, and Thou hast provided for them also in the way of Thy sacraments, which are to be administered in this day according to Thy commandment, that we do this in remembrance of Thee. We ask of Thee, O Lord, that Thou wouldst watch over Thy table. There will be table watchers. They are the office bearers that Thou dost put in their place in this world, in Thy church. But we ask of Thee, O Lord, who knowest the hearts of all men, that Thou wouldst watch over Thy table, and that we as Thy servant may receive wisdom and discretion, that we may know how to speak and to take forth the precious from the vile, and that Thou wouldst bring forth those who are truly Thine, for Thou knowest their places. And wilt Thou keep our hands also from taking that which does not belong unto us? For we have deceitful hearts, desperately wicked, and who can know them? But Thou knowest them, and Thou art able also to grant true conversion unto us if indeed we deceive ourselves, and that our eyes then may go open in this day, as we travel to that great eternity, wilt thou give a holy jealousy in the life of many, in the hearts of many, who will have to stand without in this morning hour. When that visible line will go through the congregation, although in an imperfect way, yet it is a line that shall be drawn by thee on that great day of days, that there may be a desire before that it is forever too late, to be numbered among that people who shall be placed by thee at thy table, who shall be placed at thy right hand. That this also in this day it may be a means, that it may draw those who have hitherto been so careless and unconcerned, that the hearts may be renewed, that we may receive broken and contrite spirits. Do look upon each and every one of thy children. Thy servant did say, all my desire that is before thee, and my groaning is not hid from thee. So it is in this morning hour. We are before the faces of one another indeed, but we are before thy countenance, O thou searcher of the hearts and thou trier of the reins. Wilt thou give us such an impression of this in this morning hour? And that thou who knowest the groanings of thy people, may also be pleased to deliver them, to give them a little eye to behold thee in this hour, that it may be for the glory of thy name and for the comfort of their soul. Wilt thou look upon all those that are needy, the widows, the widowers, the orphans, those that have needs, special needs known to thee, him that was brought to the hospital. Lord, that thou may remember him in this day. He also used also to be among us. Wilt thou be with him in his place, bless the means that are for his body's recovery, visit thou his soul. And also the little child who is to be examined by the doctors in the day of tomorrow, wilt thou remember her in mercy. Lord, that thou thyself may give wisdom to the doctors, and that thou may remember and bless these means. For thou alone art the great physician. Give the parents a place before thee. Remember those who mourn. Also in this week, a relative of some in our midst that has been taken away. Lord, that thou may give impressions of our state and condition, and the fact that we are but pilgrims here below, and that these callings also may be blessed and sanctified by thee. Look upon us then in this hour together. Oh, do visit thou us in thy favor. Oh, may all those who seek thee and make thee their choice, great gladness and blessedness see. May all those who love thy salvation rejoice and constantly magnify thee. For Jesus' sake, amen. While your offering is being received, we'll sing from Psalter 389, stanzas 1, 3, and 6. Lord, hear me in distress. Regard my suppliant cry. And in thy faithfulness and righteousness, reply. In judgment, do not cause thy servant to be tried before thy holy laws. No man is justified. Stanzas 1, 3, and 6 of Psalter 389. And the last collection today is for our building fund. congregation, the words of our text for this special service can be found in the portion of God's Word which was read to you, the Song of Solomon, chapter 2, and thereof the 15th verse. Song of Solomon 2, verse 15. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. So far, the words of our text. The foxes commanded to be taken. First, the evident meaning, that is, of these words. Second, a present application. The foxes commanded to be taken, first the evident meaning, and second, a present application. Our text that speaks about vines, about grapes, and about foxes. Foxes, they were a very real problem in the land of Israel. They were very common, and they were pests, especially in the vineyards, because they loved the grapes, and they would do very much destruction to the vines. They would dig underneath the hedges. Thus, take us the foxes. The scriptures, they often compare the church to a vineyard and the people of the Lord to the plants, the vines that are in that vineyard. Isaiah, he says that the Lord of hosts, he says that the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, that is the house of Israel, and Judah is his pleasant plant. Thus, the church, that is a church that is planted. It is planted by the Lord. And it is as a vineyard, it is cared for by the Lord. We can read that Satan complained about this. He complained about it concerning God's servant Job. And he said to the Lord, that thou hast put a hedge about him on every side. Thou dost care for him. Thou dost protect him so that I am not able to touch him. And indeed so it is. Isaiah, he says, a vineyard of red wine. And the Lord, he says, concerning that vineyard, he says, I, the Lord, do keep it. I will water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I, he says, do keep it night and day. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Scriptures, they call false teachers foxes. Lord, he says to the children of Israel that their prophets, they were like foxes in the desert. That is, then he speaks about not their true prophets, but their false prophets that they listened to, that they were like foxes in the desert. The Lord Jesus, he calls them wolves, wolves in sheep's clothing. And here we read again, they are called foxes. They are the false teachers called foxes for their subtlety. They are called foxes for their deceitfulness. The apostle says they creep into the houses. And they subvert whole houses. They are deceitful workers. We read, able to change themselves even into an angel of light. And we read here that they spoil the vines. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Thus, they would destroy that true church, the vines, the people of that vineyard, the people of the Lord, with their doctrines that the apostle says that do eat as a canker. They would like to ruin all of the souls of that church of God. They would like to bring that whole church of God into a great confusion outwardly, inwardly. They would like to spoil the unity. They like to spoil the order within that church. They privily bring in, and Paul says, damnable heresies, the false teachers, foxes. And what does the Lord say? He says, take us the foxes. What is it? It is a direction. It is a direction that is given to God's servants, to his office bearers, to those who are set as the watchmen, as the keepers of the vineyard, over against those who are the professors within the church. And those keepers of the vineyard, they are now commanded to take those foxes. Just maybe like children, like a hunter, when he is going out with purpose, that he may hunt the foxes. And when he will hunt the foxes, then you understand that he is not going to have any pity on those foxes. No, then he is going out for that specific purpose, that he may kill those foxes, that he may destroy those foxes. Then there is no toleration of them. And so also the watchmen, the keepers of the vineyard of the Lord of hosts, that is, of Mount Zion, they are commanded to take the foxes, they are commanded to take the false teachers, and they are to destroy them, and that is, they are to search out their false doctrines, their errors, whereby they are attempting to destroy the vines in the church of God. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Thus, there are not only big foxes, but there are also little foxes. There are baby foxes. And the big foxes, well, they are not so difficult to see. And then it is, in a certain sense, simpler for those watchmen to find those larger foxes. But it is now the smaller ones, the smaller errors. And the Lord, he says, then you must search them out, not only to take that which is obviously in error, but also to be looking after those smaller ones that are going in and that are under the cover of the leaves and of the vines, and they are doing so very much damage. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Thus he gives the reason for. There is a reason that they are sent out to take out those false doctrines. And what is that reason? That is because we read of the tenderness of those grapes. He says, because those grapes, well, if you look at them, then they are just hanging there. They are so completely exposed to those foxes. And they are so very tender. There is within them themselves nothing that is able to defend themselves. They cannot stand for themselves against those foxes. Those tender grapes are they which need to be preserved. They are they which need to be protected. Therefore, there needs to be a hedge that is placed around that vineyard. And there need to be watchmen. There need to be keepers of that vineyard who are set there by the owner of that vineyard, given a command, and that they will take out these foxes. Thus, we have the evident meaning. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. And we go to our second thought, that is a present application. When Elymas the sorcerer, we read he withstood Saul and Barnabas in order that he may turn away the deputy from the faith. Then Saul said to him, O fool of all subtlety and of all mischief, thou child of the devil. Thus, Elymas the sorcerer, he was a false teacher, and he is called by the servant of the Lord the child of the devil. The false teachers, they are the children of the devil. They are the children of Satan. Those false teachers, they are called in God's word foxes. Thus, Satan is then that mother fox out of whom is born every error and every falsehood that is meant to destroy that true church of God. Of course, Satan, he is a spirit. And Satan, being a spirit, is able to enter into the hearts of men, and he is using men as instruments in his hands, making false teachers in the midst of this world. But Satan, he is also himself as that mother fox. He is entering into the hearts to directly work within that in the hearts of the true people of the Lord with his mischiefs, intending to destroy that true church. Christ said to Satan, said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan." When? Well, when Peter made a suggestion to him, when he spoke about his suffering, about his death, that he would go forward in this, that Peter, he said, "Not so, Lord. This shall not be unto thee." Of course, had that never taken place, the salvation of that church had been impossible. Thus, that fox, he is working imperceptibly in that heart of Peter, because Peter did not realize what he was saying. When Peter spoke to the Lord, then he spoke in his simplicity, he spoke in his sincerity, he spoke with his concern, he spoke in love for Christ. But what he did not realize, and that Christ knew, was that there was a fox, and it was to him a temptation for his human nature. That this, which we hope to commemorate in this morning, that had never taken place, because the Lord Jesus, he was a human being. He had a human will, like your will, like my will. And in looking toward that affliction, that sacrifice, then that human will that has, as a fully human will, has also recoiled against that suffering. Oh, that fox, to come under the cover in the heart of Peter, under the cover of the love of the Lord, and yet to do his evil, his devilish work, that he may bring to an end that work of Christ, and that he may bring to a full destruction that beloved church of the Lord. The purpose of the sacraments, what is that? That is for the strengthening of faith. Why is that necessary? Well, you say, because of doubt. That is right. It is because of unbelief. Doubt, unbelief, that is to faith as water is to fire. They can exist together, but it is a matter of degree. And Satan, that fox, he will douse it as he is able in order to completely put out that fire of faith. What does he know? He knows that without faith it is impossible to please God. What does he know? He knows that by grace we are saved through faith. Thus, when he can only put out that fire, then he will have gained his aim, his end. Thus, this mother fox, she is continually giving birth to hundreds of these little foxes that may go in to spoil those vines. Those vines, especially with their tender grapes. And the Lord is giving his sacraments as an instrument in the hands of the keepers of the vineyard. They are even as mother, your husband, will give to you the instruments that you need when you will work in your house to maintain your household. And the farmer on his farm. And so the keepers of the vineyard, they are also given the sacraments as an instrument, that they may be able to fulfill the command of the Lord, wherein he commands them to take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. There is a little fox. It is a false teacher. You can read about him in the New Testament, that says you must be circumcised and keep the law. That was even after the revelation of Christ in this world. after he has come and he has completely fulfilled that law, taking away those ordinances, and now this little fox, he was there especially in the time of that early church, and he had in his eye, in his aim, in his view, especially those tender grapes. You must be circumcised and keep the law. Oh, do you know something of that little fox? Because it is not an easy matter for that church to completely receive that new covenant, and that they would be completely finished with that old covenant that was in the early church, but that is also today. And this is, oh, it is such a sly little fox. It is coming in privily. It is coming in unawares. It is working underneath. It is working along with the gracious desires, the gracious intentions that the Lord is giving in the heart of his children. That is after the pleasure of the Lord. But that little fox, even in the meantime, he is doing his utterly deceitful, his dangerous work. Paul, he said to the Galatians, "This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by faith? Are you so foolish," he says, "have you begun in the Spirit, and shall you be made perfect by the flesh?" But that fox, that little sly fox, he is running there among those vines within that vineyard of the Lord of hosts. And what does Christ say to his servants? He says, "You must now take that little fox, and you must say unto my people, do this in remembrance of me." Directing that people who experience themselves to be so impotent and defenseless within themselves, directing them to a finished work. Take us the foxes. Do this in remembrance of me. Not only one time, but over and over within that church of God. Why? Because of the persistence of this fox. Because it is so difficult to get him. Because it is so difficult to slay him. Take us the foxes. The little foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Oh, there is a fox, a little fox. It is a false teacher, it is a Pharisee that drags along a woman taken in adultery in the very act unto the Lord Jesus Christ and saying unto him, "This woman must be slain." Is he not a sly one? He is taking cover He takes cover under the justice of God. He takes cover under the law of God, the law of Moses, that says that this woman, she must be slain. It is under the pretense of justice. It is under the pretense of judgment. And now that fox, he says, there is for her no way out. She is to be condemned. She is to be executed. Oh, how tender. Under the accusations of that fox are those tender grapes. They have no defense. She says not one word. She cannot say a word. Because it is true. Because she is taken in the very act. And thus that little fox, he says, it is for you impossible because your sin that is so great that it cannot be forgiven. There is but one way, and that is the law of Moses. And therefore that fox, he says, let her be slain. What does Christ say? To his servants, he says, you must now take that fox and tell the people to do this in remembrance of me. And that neither do I condemn those that have nothing more to say for themselves, who have to be silent under all the accusations. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. There is a fox. It is a fox that is standing with that people in the judgment. You can read about it in the Word of God. And he stands and he points to the filthy garments of that people. It is actually not a little fox. It is a big fox. It is really the mother of foxes. Because we read in God's Word that it is Satan himself who is standing on the right hand to resist. And that fox, he points to those filthy garments and he says, oh Lord, this man, this woman is not worthy. Look at him. It is true, he has cleaned up his life. The whole community can say nothing about him anymore. But Lord, thou knowest his heart. Seest thou not therein the vanity? Seest thou not therein the carnality? There is in his heart worldliness. There is in his heart sensuality. Is this a lover of thee? That is a man, that is a woman that is cleaving unto the dust. Look at his heart. Look how hard it is. Look how cold it is. Look at the poverty. Look at what he lacks. How little faith. How little love. Is that thy child? Look how he has backslidden from thee. Look at all of his unworthiness. Oh, he is a sly one. He is a devilish one. He is hiding. He is hiding under the leaves. He is hiding under the gracious feelings, the gracious estimations of the soul of that church, of the greatness and of the holiness of the Lord, that makes a comparison. And it says that you are nothing but a blot upon the Lord and upon his church. Oh, a fox spoiling the vines. And then especially those tender grapes under the feelings, the gracious feelings of the corruption, of the wretchedness that lives within them. And the Lord, he says, what? He says, take the foxes. Have no pity. Have no mercy. The Lord rebuke thee, O Satan. The Lord who has chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this a brand that is plucked out of the fire? Oh, take those foxes and tell my people to do this in remembrance of me. Take away the filthy garments from him. Do this in remembrance of me. Behold, I have caused thine iniquity to be taken away, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. Take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Oh, there is a fox. It is a little fox, but it is living even in the disciples of the Lord themselves. And what does that fox do? That fox, he is turning away the infants, the mothers with the infants. That fox, he is turning away the little ones, as if that there is a case that is too small, a case that is too trifling for the Lord of hosts. A fox, he says, you need to know more of Christ. A fox that says your knowledge is too little. A fox that says your faith, that has to be a greater faith. Is he not a sly one? Because he is hiding under the gracious estimations of the exalted nature of that mediator. That he is divine. That he is that great God. And he is doing his evil work, especially to those tender grapes, because he is intimidating those that are the meek and the lowly ones, as if there is a case that is too insignificant for the great majesty of God. Take us the foxes, says the keeper of the vineyard. Oh, when I am ascended into heaven, and when I have received my crown, And when I am sitting at the right hand of the exalted majesty of God, then tell my people to do this in remembrance of me. And declare unto them that institution that I have left behind me. And for whom? Oh, it is for the weakest of those that truly believe in me. Oh, that are not able to believe because of the greatness of the wonder to such as I am. Take us, the foxes, congregation. He says, us. Take us, the foxes, for our vines, he says, they have tender grapes. Then he brings his servants into a workmanship with himself, so that that vineyard, he as it were is sharing with those watchmen. And he says, it is not just my vineyard. He says, it is our vineyard. And therefore, he says, you must do this for me. But how poor are we at it? To know those foxes and to be able to take those foxes. And therefore, may the Lord himself in this morning hour watch over his vineyard. Watch over his vines, that he himself may take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. Amen. We will now ask that the form shall be read from of the Lord's Supper, which can be found on page 136. In the back of your psalter.
Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, attend to the words of the institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, as they are delivered by the Holy Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23 to 29. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. And after the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as oft as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That we may now celebrate the supper of the Lord to our comfort, it is above all things necessary, first, rightly to examine ourselves. Secondly, to direct it to that end for which Christ hath ordained and instituted the same, namely, to his remembrance. The true examination of ourselves consists of these three parts. First, that every one consider by himself his sins and the curse due to him for them, to the end that he may abhor and humble himself before God, considering that the wrath of God against sin is so great that, rather than it should go unpunished, he hath punished the same in his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, with the bitter and shameful death of the cross. Secondly, that everyone examine his own heart, whether he doth believe this faithful promise of God, that all his sins are forgiven him only for the sake of the passion and death of Jesus Christ, and that the perfect righteousness of Christ is imputed and freely given him as his own, yea, so perfectly, as if he had satisfied in his own person for all his sins and fulfilled all righteousness. Thirdly, that everyone examine his own conscience, whether he purposes henceforth to show true thankfulness to God in his whole life, and to walk uprightly before him, as also whether he hath laid aside unfeignedly all enmity, hatred, and envy, and doth firmly resolve henceforward to walk in true love and peace with his neighbor. All those, then, who are thus disposed, God will certainly receive in mercy and count them worthy partakers of the table of his Son, Jesus Christ. On the contrary, those who do not feel this testimony in their hearts eat and drink judgment to themselves. Therefore, we also, according to the command of Christ and the Apostle Paul, admonish all those who are defiled with the following sins to keep themselves from the table of the Lord, and declare to them that they have no part in the kingdom of Christ, such as all idolaters, all those who invoke deceased saints, angels or other creatures, all those who worship images, all enchanters, diviners, charmers, and those who confide in such enchantments, all despisers of God and of his word and of the holy sacraments, all blasphemers, all those who are given to raise discord, sects, and mutiny in church or state, all perjured persons, all those who are disobedient to their parents and superiors, all murderers, contentious persons, and those who live in hatred and envy against their neighbors, all adulterers, whoremongers, drunkards, thieves, usurers, robbers, gamesters, covetous, and all who lead offensive lives. All these, while they continue in such sins, shall abstain from this meat, which Christ hath ordained only for the faithful, lest their judgment and condemnation be made the heavier. But this is not designed, dearly beloved brethren and sisters in the Lord, to deject the contrite hearts of the faithful, as if none might come to the supper of the Lord, but those who are without sin. For we do not come to this supper to testify thereby that we are perfect and righteous in ourselves, but on the contrary, considering that we seek our life out of ourselves in Jesus Christ, we acknowledge that we lie in the midst of death. Therefore, notwithstanding we feel many infirmities and miseries in ourselves, as namely that we have not perfect faith, and that we do not give ourselves to serve God with that zeal as we are bound, but have daily to strive with the weakness of our faith and the evil lust of our flesh, yet, since we are, by the grace of the Holy Spirit, sorry for these weaknesses, and earnestly desirous to fight against our unbelief and to live according to all the commandments of God, therefore we rest assured that no sin or infirmity which still remaineth against our will in us can hinder us from being received of God in mercy, and from being made worthy partakers of this heavenly meat and drink. Let us now also consider to what end the Lord hath instituted his supper, namely, that we do it in remembrance of him. Now after this manner are we to remember him by it, first, that we are confidently persuaded in our hearts that our Lord Jesus Christ, according to the promises made to our forefathers in the Old Testament, was sent of the Father into the world, that he assumed our flesh and blood, that he bore for us the wrath of God, under which we should have perished everlastingly, from the beginning of his incarnation to the end of his life upon earth, and that he hath fulfilled for us all obedience to the divine law and righteousness, especially when the weight of our sins and the wrath of God pressed out of him the bloody sweat in the garden, where he was bound that we might be freed from our sins, that he afterwards suffered innumerable reproaches, that we might never be confounded, that he was innocently condemned to death, that we might be acquitted at the judgment seat of God, yea, that he suffered his blessed body to be nailed on the cross, that he might fix thereon the handwriting of our sins, and hath also taken upon himself the curse due to us, that he might fill us with his blessings, and hath humbled himself unto the deepest reproach and pains of hell, both in body and soul, on the tree of the cross, when he cried out with a loud voice, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That we might be accepted of God and never be forsaken of him, and finally confirmed with his death and shedding of his blood the new and eternal testament, that covenant of grace and reconciliation, when he said, it is finished. Secondly, and that we might firmly believe that we belong to this covenant of grace, the Lord Jesus Christ, in his last supper, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, this do in remembrance of me. In like manner also after supper he took the cup, gave thanks and said, drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you and for many for the remission of sins. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. That is, as often as ye eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you shall thereby, as by a sure remembrance and pledge, be admonished and assured of this my hearty love and faithfulness toward you. That whereas you should otherwise have suffered eternal death, I have given my body to the death of the cross and shed my blood for you, and as certainly feed and nourish your hungry and thirsty souls with my crucified body and shed blood to everlasting life. As this bread is broken before your eyes, and this cup is given to you, and you eat and drink the same with your mouth in remembrance of me. From this institution of the Holy Supper of our Lord Jesus Christ, we see that he directs our faith and trust to his perfect sacrifice, once offered on the cross, as to the only ground and foundation of our salvation, wherein he has become to our hungry and thirsty souls the true meat and drink of life eternal. For by his death he hath taken away the cause of our eternal death and misery, namely, sin, and obtained for us the quickening spirit that we, by the same, who dwelleth in Christ as in the head and in us as his members, might have true communion with him and be made partakers of all his blessings, of life eternal, righteousness, and glory. Besides, that we by this same spirit may also be united as members of one body in true brotherly love, as the holy apostle saith, for we, being many, are one bread and one body. For we are all partakers of that one bread. For as out of many grains one meal is ground, and one bread baked, and out of many berries being pressed together, one wine floweth and mixeth itself together, so shall we all, who by a true faith are engrafted into Christ, be altogether one body through brotherly love, for Christ's sake, our beloved Savior, who has so exceedingly loved us, and not only show this in word, but also in very deed towards one another. Here to assist us, the Almighty God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, through His Holy Spirit. Amen.
That we may obtain all this, let us humble ourselves before God and with true faith implore His grace. O most merciful God and Father, we beseech Thee that Thou wilt be pleased in this supper, in which we celebrate the glorious remembrance of the bitter death of Thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to work in our hearts through the Holy Spirit, that we may daily more and more with true confidence give ourselves up unto Thy Son, Jesus Christ, that our afflicted and contrite hearts, through the power of the Holy Ghost, may be fed and comforted with His true body and blood, yea, with Him, true God and man, that only heavenly bread, and that we may no longer live in our sins, but He in us and we in Him, and thus truly be made partakers of the new and everlasting covenant of grace, that we may not doubt, but Thou wilt forever be our gracious Father, nevermore imputing our sins unto us, and providing us with all things necessary as well for the body as the soul, as Thy beloved children and heirs, grant us also Thy grace, that we may take up our cross cheerfully, deny ourselves, confess our Savior, and in all tribulations with uplifted heads expect our Lord Jesus Christ from heaven, where He will make our mortal bodies like unto His most glorious body, and take us unto Him in eternity. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done as it is in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Strengthen us also by this holy supper, in the Catholic undoubted Christian faith whereof we make confession with our mouths and hearts, saying, I believe in God the Father, Almighty, Maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, He descended into hell. The third day He rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence He shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. That we may be now fed with the true heavenly bread, Christ Jesus, let us not cleave with our hearts unto the external bread and wine, but lift them up on high in heaven, where Christ Jesus is our advocate at the right hand of his heavenly Father, whither all the articles of our faith lead us, not doubting, but we shall as certainly be fed and refreshed in our souls through the working of the Holy Ghost with his body and blood, as we receive the holy bread and wine in remembrance of him. Let us sing while the table is prepared, Psalter 110, all the stanzas. Thy tender mercies, O my Lord, withhold not, I implore, but let thy kindness and thy truth preserve me evermore. And what follows in all the stanzas of Psalter 110. do this in remembrance of me. And thus we have immediately explained to us who and that the Lord would have to remember him by it. Thus we may ask ourselves in these moments whether we are able to remember him. That is in the first place. Because it is a commemoration not only of an objective knowledge, but of a subjective knowledge. Thus are there those that are able to remember him. You say, how can I know it? You will know it. You will know it by the fruits of it. You will know it by the joy and the rejoicing that you will remember. When he has opened to you just a little bit of that cross in all your guilt. Oh, can you remember how that your soul did leap for joy? Are there those that can remember how that their soul leaped for joy? And when as a wretched and a filthy creature, and that he has opened to you a little bit of that possibility in that fountain that is open for sin and for uncleanness? Oh, can you remember that joy? Are there those in their impotence who are not able to deliver themselves that can remember the joy and the rejoicing in their heart when he has opened a little bit of that finished work of his only begotten Son, that your heart that was so glad? Oh, then he says, unto such that are able to remember him, do this in remembrance of me. And thus, also in this morning hour, that table that is now open, and he says to those, to such ones, oh, my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Not only let me hear thy voice, but also times in his church wherein he says to that people, let me see thy countenance. That is a pleasure to me, that is delightful to me. Then he says, come. Come together because it is pleasing to me when I may see the unity, when I may see the countenances of my people, and when they may be gathered in one confession. Ah, you are ashamed. You go into hiding because of your guilt. You do not want to show yourself because you are ashamed of how you look. You are ashamed of your image before God. It is not the way that you have been created. You are ashamed as David, who for 9 months did hide his sin, and he did not want the people to know. Oh, you say, shall I let everyone know how wretched a creature that I am? Oh, you are ashamed. You are ashamed of your filth. You are ashamed that you have lost your feathers in your molting. Oh, and yet he says, I am so well pleased. I am pleased to see the countenances of my people, such people. I am pleased when they may make one confession, when they may say together, this is how that I was made. And this is how far that I have fallen, and how that I remain such and I'm not able to deliver myself. Oh, I am pleased when they may speak of me, when they may tell all together in a blessed unity what they think of me, what they have seen of me, and when they may say, he is altogether lovely. He is everything to me. His righteousness, or his blessed obedience. Oh, come then, congregation, take us the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Is there yet a people before we close this table? Is there yet a little fox that goes about in here our vineyard? A little fox Peter knew, also a little fox. A little fox that said it is better to be quiet now. And don't get us wrong. We would not, congregation, draw any by way of emotions. We would not want any to come forth who did not belong. But Peter knew. Peter knew that that maid was right. When she said, thou art also one of them, he knew it in his heart. He could not deny it in his heart. And therefore, and yet, that little fox, he said, just be quiet now. With all these people here, it is personal. It is a private matter. You don't need to let others know about it right now. Just, do you know him? Do you love him? Just lie about it. Just say, no, I've never seen him. I've never seen his beauty, never seen anything of his love, his mercy, his grace, never revealed in all my need, in the smallest amount, O congregation. Are there yet others? Because Peter, he had to weep bitterly for what he had done. Then we close this table. The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. The cup of blessing, which we bless, is the communion of the blood of Christ. Drink ye all of it. Remember and believe that the blood of Christ was poured out for the complete remission of all our sins. My dove, that art in the clefts of the rock, secret places of the stairs, let me see thy countenance, let me hear thy voice, for sweet is thy voice, and thy countenance is comely. Take us the foxes, the little foxes, and that spoil the vines. And for our vines have tender grapes. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Is that not now a most blessed thing to be able to say, my beloved is mine, and I am his? May be often your desire that you also would be able with the bride so to say. Maybe even there have been times, maybe there have been moments in the blessed visits of the Lord, in the blessed exercises of faith, wherein that maybe you have even dared to say with the bride, my beloved is mine, and I am his, so that you later, you have thought, what now did I say? What is it here with the bride? Is it because that he is near? It is not. Because here, the bride, she is speaking in the absence of the bridegroom. And the Lord's Supper that has been instituted for his church for a time not when he was near, but it was for a time when he was far away, because he was going to leave his church and he was going to ascend into heaven. And then he has left this behind in order that they also may be able to say, even in his absence, my beloved is mine, and I am his. You say, how did she come to say that? Well, it is just as a wife who may say of her husband, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And how does she know this? Well, she knows it because she knows that he knows her. She has heard her name, and he has spoken her name, and he has shown to her that he also knows where she is, even when she is in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, and when she is known by no one perhaps around, and yet that she was known by him, and that she was known even in her shame, even when she could say nothing, even with how that she looked when she lay in her guilt, when she lay in her corruption, in her pollution, when she lay with her filthy garments, then he knew it all. And he has spoken that name, and she has heard it. And not only so, but he has, even as she was, declared his love for her. And then he said to such ones, even as you are, oh, I declare my love, and I ask that you let me hear your voice, and let me see thy countenance. And he has declared that that countenance is comely, even when it looks even as I do, in all my wretchedness and in all my guilt. Oh, and then he has also shown me something else. He has said, take the foxes, the little foxes that spoil the vines. Oh, he has shown that he knows those little foxes. He knows each and every one of them. He knows what it is that troubles my soul. And then it is also the little foxes and that can keep me awake in the night, and that can so intimidate me, and that can keep me even from his throne. Oh, then he shows how that he gives also servants, and that he gives a vineyard, and that he puts a wall, that he puts a hedge about me, and that that dog, that fox, that he is not able to destroy me. Oh, what a blessed thought. What a blessed confirmation of her relation to him. My beloved is mine, and I am his, and that is taken from his dealings unto her, and that she may make such a conclusion, and then she may also take such a comfort in it. My beloved is mine. What does it mean? Well, if my beloved is mine, then everything that is his, that is also mine. Then it is nothing that needs to come from myself anymore. Oh, then everything that he is, that is for me. And what he has done, that is for me. And his obedience, that is now become my obedience. A perfect, a blessed obedience. An active obedience wherein I am so unactive. It is a passive obedience to give himself the price that he has paid, and that is also for me, and so that it is a work that is so completely finished. The righteousness which he has bought, and that becomes my own. Why? Because my beloved is mine. Oh, and then it is also the love of the Father. And this is my only begotten Son, in whom I am well pleased, so that she may say, the lot to me that fell is beautiful and fair. My beloved is mine. And not only my beloved is mine, but I am his. And if I am his, oh, then what have I more to fear? What is now the care that I should take up for this life or for a life to come? Because even the lilies of the field, they are cared for by him. And the sparrows, they receive everything from him. Oh, my beloved is mine, and I am his. And therefore he says, my little flock, do not fear. For it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. What is it? Oh, it is. It is the putting away of an objection. Because it could be then that some, they say to me, they say, well, if he is yours and you are his, then where is he? Then why is it that you are so often without him and he is gone? And she says, my beloved is mine and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Thus he is busy. The lilies, they are what? That is his church. And he is busy among his people. That is to say, as a beloved wife, who may take such a pleasure in that blessed relation to her husband, that even when he is gone, then she says, well, he is busy in the field. He is laboring on my behalf. He is working also for me and for the others within his church. Oh, he is busy, but he is mine. And I am his, and he will not forget me. And he will not let me go, but at his time he shall return. Oh, a blessed resignation, when she may by faith believe and be confirmed in that blessed relation between him and her soul. Let us sing of it. Let us sing of it in Psalter 163, the second stanza, and afterwards the communicants may return to their seats. The loving kindness of my God is more than life to me. So I will bless thee while I live and lift my prayer to thee. Stanza 2 of Psalter 163. Beloved in the Lord, since the Lord hath now fed our souls at this table, let us therefore jointly praise his holy name with thanksgiving, and everyone say in his heart thus, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He had not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy towards them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, So far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him, who hath not spared his own son, but delivered him up for us all, and given us all things with him. Therefore God commendeth therewith his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Therefore shall my mouth and heart show forth the praise of the Lord from this time forth forevermore. Amen. Let us now close with thanksgiving. O Almighty, merciful God and Father, we render thee most humble and hearty thanks that thou hast, of thy infinite mercy, given us thine only begotten Son, for a mediator and a sacrifice for our sins, and to be our meat and drink unto life eternal, and that thou givest us lively faith, whereby we are made partakers of such great benefits. Thou hast also been pleased that thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, should institute and ordain his holy supper for the confirmation of the same. Grant, we beseech thee, O faithful God and Father, and that through the operation of thy Holy Spirit, the commemoration of the death of our Lord Jesus Christ may tend to the daily increase of our faith and saving fellowship with him, through Jesus Christ thy Son, in whose name we conclude our prayers, saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen. Our closing psalter is number 71, stanzas 1, 2, and 5. Jehovah is my light, and my salvation near. Who shall my soul affright, or cause my heart to fear? And what follows, 1, 2, and 5 of Psalter 71. Receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Blessing.